Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome to another episode of FPL Family with me, Lee. This is Sam. And here we are, Sam, at the end of game week 10. Another roller coaster of emotions. If you're a fan of VAR or not, we are going to not talk about VAR as much as possible this evening. But another roller coaster. And we have to say, first and foremost, there is a game currently going on. So for those of you that have got maybe Arsenal Wolves going on in the background, it's half time. Currently 2-1 to Wolves. Neto and Podence with the goals. Gabriel for Arsenal, but clearly not really the key talking point from that first half. The key talking point is the awful clash of heads. Guys, if you were watching it, I hope that you had the sound off, because that clash of heads between David Luiz and Raul Jimenez was really, really bad. And Luiz came off pretty badly, but obviously Raul Jimenez looks like he's gone to hospital. You could, because there's no crowds in the grounds, you could hear the ambulances pulling up outside the stadium. It was just awful. So obviously we wish Raul Jimenez well, and look, let's keep up to date in the live chat. And if you've got any, if they give any updates to Raul Jimenez, then let us know in the live chat. And of course, if there's any updates to the scores or anything, keep that going in the live chat as well. So there we go, game week 10, Sam, nearly in the bag. Although, of course, there are two games
tomorrow
as well. So even if your game week's looking good and you've got a green arrow, if you're not part of tomorrow's Vardy party, the inevitable Vardy party.
Nah.
He might just be able to look at that game and hoping that he stays quiet.
It's cancelled.
I want it cancelled as well, I'll be honest.
I mean, Leicester in a tier three, right? So there's no parties allowed.
True, no parties allowed. Sorry
Jamie.
You
no
cannot have your
allowed.
Party. You cannot have your party. Well, there we go, Sam. Lots and lots to discuss tonight, guys. We will, of course, be talking about all of the Game Week 10 fixtures that we've had. We obviously, I don't think we'll look forward too much to tomorrow's fixtures, because we can't really change our teams now based on what's gone on there. But plenty of thought that I've already put into my transfers for next game week.
And transfers!
Already considering I'm minus eight for next week, guys, which I will talk about a bit later on. But before we start, let's get into the live chat. Let's see who's here. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. We'll do what we usually do, guys. We'll look at the fixtures. We'll say hello to you guys. We'll go through fixture by fixture, see where our FPL thinking is at. And of course, we'll look at our teams and overall ranks as we get towards the end of the show. Now, we do obviously have to do an update to the Manager of the Month as well. That is in the balance, by the way. The November Manager Month is in the balance. Of course, it's still 2.5 games to go. But when I get... Actually, let's do it now. Let's do it now, because it is right in the balance, Sam. I have to talk about this. This is our November leaderboard.
You've still got the wrong graphic.
For Manager... Is that the wrong one?
Yes,
again?
Mark is winning.
This is the wrong graphic. Mark is
such a... Do you know how many times you've got this graphic wrong this week?
Honestly, it's no excuse, but work has been, like my actual work has been ridiculously busy. So trying to do FPL Family graphics as well has been quite difficult. So talk us through what's actually happening. So this is clearly wrong. Tracy is not at the top.
No, Mark is. Mark Dorney
top. Right, sorry,
top
Mark.
With 170.
He told me that as well, didn't he?
You checked it as well, because he said, Lee, I'm not in the graph. You were like, I said, we'll check it. You checked it. You were like, yep, he's right.
I've actually done him dirty again, Mark.
Twice.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. That's
actually,
terrible.
In fact, that was the second. You've done him dirty three times this week.
Mark.
Sorry,
he
Mark.
He will forgive me. I'm absolutely sure. So
Mark is top.
Listen. Ignore the graphic. Mark is top with 173 points at the beginning of game week 10.
1 point ahead of Tracy.
1 point ahead of Tracy and William. Then you on 167. And then Sam and James hanging on in there with 163. So it is all to play for.
It's
and I noticed
close.
In the live chat, just as we were coming on, Tracy has captained Dominic Calvert-Lewin this week.
Do you know, I
which
very
is clearly
nearly
a big,
did that.
That's a bit of a fail.
I very nearly did that this week. My armband moved more this week than it ever has, ever, I think. In the history of Sam from FPL, having an FPL team, I don't think my captain's armband has ever moved as much as it did this week.
Well, there is now a case, Sam. I would suggest that all FPL managers just absolutely stick it on Bruno for the rest of the season and forget about it.
I kind of seem to be going in set and forget stages. Set and forget. Yeah. I came for 4 weeks, that worked well. I'm now setting and forgetting on Bruno, it seems, for a couple of weeks. It's gone well.
Unbelievable. Well, listen, there's our Manager of the Month for November, sort of. For the podcast listeners, this makes perfect sense, but for the YouTube viewers, this doesn't. Mark is at the top, then it's Tracy, William, and then it's you, and then Sam Hawkins, and then James in at 163. So it's all to play for. You could still win this.
And if I do...
Sorry, second place gets the prize. You don't get the prize. What are you talking about?
No, but you have to buy me a prize.
No, I don't. That's not in the terms and conditions.
Yeah.
Not
like,
in the
guys,
terms and conditions.
In the chat, if I win it, obviously I can't win it overall. So whoever's in second will get the main prize. But should Lee buy me a present if I win it?
100% not. 100%
not. It's on the chat. If the chat say yes, then I'm afraid... That is it.
By the way, so I don't think we've had Mark win it before, but Tracy has won Manager of the Month before.
She could be the first person ever
to be in double Manager of the Month. That could be absolutely incredible. Mm. But listen, is all to play for, and we will talk a bit more about that. Get on to us, obviously, on Twitter and Instagram, and obviously on the YouTube community page, where I'll be updating the Manager of the Month for November. Probably Tuesday, when all the games said and done, I've totted up my little spreadsheet and I've not left Mark checked off the top, and I've checked it once, twice and thrice. And then I will send a graphic out and announce who's won it. So there we go, Manager of the Month November, still all to play for.
What are they all saying? They're all saying yes, look. They're all saying yes.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Yes.
Toby Alderweireld shirt.
Yes.
So there we go.
Yes.
There we go.
I could have the home shirt with Toby on the back.
Let's say hello to a few people. Joseph Perry is in. He's saying yes, 100%. Joseph. No, thanks. FPL Tips, Harry is in. Hello, Harry. Are you on speaking terms again with Harry?
We're talking again now.
It's okay,
is it? We made amends in the Slack. It's all fine. We're very politely...
It's a lovely community, that Slack, but it kicked off a little bit, that.
We very politely said goodbye to each other before the match.
Yeah.
And then Harry came back in after the match and said, hi, Sam and Harry.
Yeah.
Hi, Harry.
Yeah.
And then that was it. We're finished.
Yeah. I did notice that in the Slack. Tips was like, yeah, game's kicking off. Bye. Yeah. Not talking in here for another 90 minutes.
And then we just
see you at the end.
And then at the end, we just went... I think
everyone pretty happy with that draw. Mourinho definitely is, because that is absolutely what he played for. But we'll come to that a bit later on. James Stevenson is in. He says, I hate Daniel Podence. Well, listen, James, if you've only just recently taken him out, that is unlucky, mate, because he has gone and got the goal tonight at the Emirates. I'll tell you what, we'll talk about Arsenal and Wolves in a little bit more detail later on, but Arsenal look a little bit short in that game, I'll be honest with you.
North London derby next.
I noticed Wolves went four at the back. Nuno went four at the back, which is unheard of. Wolves Twitter was just like, four at the back alert, Clapton, you know, and actually didn't play or didn't start Max Kilman, which for me was a bit of a disaster.
Missed that.
So he didn't start Max Kilman. So I'm obviously now hoping that Max Kilman stays on the bench, because coming on for me would be Dallas's eight.
Oh, shut up.
So I do...
you can absolutely do one this weekend with how jammy you've got. Normally, guys, we sit here and I've got points maybe on my bench that don't come on often this season. In fact, so far this season, haven't at all come on. And Lee sits there and goes, oh, you're jammy luck. Cancelo doesn't play. 8 points for Chilwell coming off of his bench.
Well, listen, FPL captain this week, if he'd have worn slightly smaller boots, he'd have had a 20-pointer, Mo Salah, and we're going to talk about that a bit later on. But anyway, I'm hoping, guys, do not troll me and put Max Kilman
on. Come on, Kilman.
And with Wolves 2-1 up, that could happen. He could shore it up and go five at the back. We'll put Kilman on, which would be a complete... That's why they play five at the back. But they do play with those flying wingers, so who knows? I don't know. So anyway, I really don't want Max Kilman to come on.
Bad night for you if you've got Buy Me a Toby shirt and Max Kilman comes on.
It would be bad. FPL, Alex the Kid, how are we doing? Cancelo to Diaz. He's got 2 free transfers, nothing else to do. Should he do that move? Would you go for the safety of presumed safety of Diaz over the slight risk in Cancelo? Maybe we'll talk about that when we get to City.
Yeah, I think we should, because we have slightly different views on this, don't we?
We do. I think if you've got a bench to cover it, maybe Cancelo is the one. But listen, anyway, FPL Tips just says, Jammy Lee. Well, listen.
Yes, Harry.
I deserve a bit of jam.
No,
I deserve a bit
why?
Of jam.
Why?
FPL Flynn, Lee, your luck has been mental this week. What are we talking about? Mentally bad? Very, yeah, listen.
No, you've already got 8 points coming off your bench. You don't deserve another 8 points.
Robbo clean sheet, wipe out in the last minute. Salah toe offside for the captaincy.
Well, he did kick somebody.
Oh, just don't give it. Flynn. Not having it, mate. Finn McCann is in. How are you doing, Finn? Nice to see you.
Finn and Flynn.
We've got a super chat from Stealth Panda. Kenz, how are you doing, mate? He says, hey, guys, hope you had an amazing weekend. Can we not talk about VAR? Because it boils my temper so much. Also, Spurs and Chelsea was a dull fest. We're going to talk about Spurs and Chelsea a bit later on. But, Kenz, get into my DMs, mate, on Twitter. And we're going to have a good old row about that. Because, honestly, it is killing the game. It is killing it for me every single week. And I'll be honest, maybe I shouldn't say this, I tempered how much football I watched this weekend. I reined it in. I don't know if you noticed, but I reined it in. Liverpool, of course I watched Liverpool. Didn't watch that game on Friday night, went for a run. Watched Liverpool, of course. The games on Saturday, I watched a little bit of Everton Leeds. The bit I watched was quite good. Didn't watch any of the Saturday night. Didn't watch any of West Brom Fulham, but I probably wouldn't have watched that anyway. I obviously watched Spurs today, but I reined it in because whenever I watch football right now, Just winds me up.
In all of our years of being just in the same room together, I have never seen Lee so upset and annoyed.
It's really bothering me, this. And it's like, because it's affecting my FPL team as well, it's like, with FPL, I think, and I tweeted this at the time, you win some, you lose some, right? I mean, I come off a bit worse, you know, on the Salah toe offside thing, but then if I get Chilwell and flipping Dallas off my bench, and you win some, you lose some. But the way that it's affecting football, oh, it's really doing my head in, and I can't celebrate. I didn't celebrate any of the Liverpool goals. When Mane scored, I didn't celebrate. Oh, it's just really doing my head in. But anyway, enough about that. Ken said he didn't want to talk about it. Ken, we are not going to talk about it too much. Anyway, super chat from Clyde Bickford. Thank you, Clyde. Hey, Bonfield fan.
Hiya.
Hey, Bickford fan. So Salah, Kane and Son to De Bruyne, Sterling and Jesus for City versus Fulham. So going all in, literally all in on City for Fulham next week. We'll talk about City in a bit more detail later on. But it does look very, very prudent to have at least some City cover. Not a surprise to see them smash Burnley at the Etihad. That seems to happen every
season,
doesn't it?
Without Nick Pope as well, it was just...
Yeah, but even with Nick Pope, I think they'd have struggled. But going into that Fulham game now, again at the Etihad, and then West Brom a couple of weeks later, Newcastle a couple of weeks later after that, does kind of feel like you probably want to get on one of them. And it could be Mahrez. And that's why we've put him in the thumbnail, because could Mahrez cover KDB, cover... A lot of people are going to be asking that question, Sam. You're going to get that question. We're on the FPL podcast and the show this week. I guarantee you we will be asked that question.
Do you want my answer?
Mahrez over KDB. I know your answer. Your answer is no, get KDB.
Hell no.
My answer as well. But if the answer is, I want KDB, but you've got to sell Kane to do it, would you do it? Different, right? Different thinking. But if you could get Mahrez and keep Kane, then would you do it?
No.
There we go. You see, well, all right. Well, listen, we'll talk about that
Mahrez,
a bit
what's
later
the point?
On.
He's going to get benched for half of them.
You just know it, don't you? You just know it. Let's see. Sanjay Patel. How are we doing, Sanjay? Very nice to see you. MZ Ludo is in. KDB or Bruno? I would suggest there is a good case for both right now, MZ. Johnny Ned is in. Can Foden start some games, please, Pep? Yeah, goodness me. What's going on there? When he comes on, makes a difference, doesn't he, Foden? Bruno Sullivan. How are we doing? Very nice to see you. Paul Cartwright. Sherwin Spokta and Ali Mosen and all manner of you guys in this evening. So thank you for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. Let's go, Sam, to some of these games. Let's discuss these games. That's the Fantasy Football Scout website. Quick plug for that. This hasn't got the Arsenal Wolves scoring, so I'm going to refresh, see if there's been any goals in Arsenal Wolves. I don't think so. No, still 2-1 to Wolves. But let's go straight to the Amex then and talk about Liverpool versus Brighton or Brighton versus Liverpool. And I do particularly want to talk about Jota. You think you're going to get a few questions about Mahrez and Kevin De Bruyne this week. You're also going to get a lot of questions about Salah stroke Mane and Jota, because it's starting to feel like there is now a credible, very cheap alternative to those guys. Not even an addition. And a lot of the talk in the last couple of weeks is, well, do we add Jota to one of the other two guys, Salah or Mane? My view is starting to come round to, well, there is a credible alternative here. At a time when, if you look at Manchester United, there is no credible alternative to Bruno Fernandes. Okay, Rashford gets the assist today, I get it, right? But if you're going into United, it's Bruno. If you're going into Man City, it's KDB, probably. You could play around the edges, take the risk on Mahrez if you want, but in my opinion, it's KDB. At Liverpool, it's not quite so clear-cut anymore, is it? How do you feel?
In all honesty, I don't know. Is my genuinely honest answer here, because no part of me feels comfortable with an FPL team without Salah in it.
Right. Yeah.
I just don't, and I think that it, I mean, a lot of that is historical. Right?
So you've got Bruno and Salah. So you know City right now. That's the gap in the team.
I have one defender.
You've got Diaz, yeah.
City is my big weakness right now. But I look at. I struggle to build a team that doesn't have Salah in. But equally, I struggle to have a team without KDB in, because there's that comfort and the security of having them. And in seasons gone by, I wouldn't ever have two Spurs players. Now, there's obviously a conversation to be had about whether you hold the two Spurs players or not. However, I think for me, it still feels like Salah and Jota is a nice option, as opposed to... instead of. I just can't get my head around the instead of thing.
Well, FPL Flynn is agreeing with you in the live chat. Jota looks unbelievable, but can't cover Salah, though. in my opinion. Just a quick super chat from Azzy. Thank you, Azzy, for the super chat. He's saying Jimenez is conscious, responding to treatment. Oh, that sounds very good indeed. I think he was, like, as we know, rushed off to hospital after the game. And even at halftime, as we were coming on, I was like constantly refreshing Twitter to see if there was any update. And there wasn't. And they said on Sky, didn't have any updates. But Azzy, thank you for being our Wolves correspondent for the evening. Very good news to hear that Jimenez is up and responding to treatment. That is good news because he did not look good when he was on the pitch. So Liverpool then, still not rocking with any defenders. So Trent went for you a few weeks ago. Robertson, all right, 2 points, but could have been a different frame. Would have been the assist for Mane's goal that was ruled out for VAR. And what was in the bonus points leading up to that penalty right at the death there. On the back of a 12-pointer last week, are you tempted back into the Liverpool defence, or is it still too patchwork for you back there?
Yeah, it's still too unsure. I think the fact that Nico Williams played is a good thing.
A bit unlucky, his owners, potentially, that he comes off at half-time rather than on the sort of 60-70 minute mark?
I think so.
Mm. Yeah, could have snuck a clean sheet in there, couldn't they?
I think so, and I think... I just, if you're going to go in at a 3.9, then you go in with your eyes open, don't you, knowing that they're not exactly going to ever set the world on fire, and they could come off at this point, or they could come on for a 1 point cameo, and you just have to accept that that's what happens if you have a cheap option in your team. And you also have to accept with Nico Williams that at some point he's a dead option because Trent's going to come back from injury and take his spot back.
Yeah.
But if you're happy to accept that for a few weeks, then I think he's a nice way of making some money across the rest of the team.
No Milner as well, potentially, now for a few weeks, because he's done his hamstring in what is the biggest non-shock ever. I mean, I know that we're short, right? But you cannot play Milner two lots of 90 minutes and then playing for like 70 minutes in that game against Brighton. It's just a hamstring waiting to happen, really.
Yeah. I felt really sorry for him, actually, because the thing is with Milner is he's not half-hearted about stuff. He gives his all. And you could see him in each of the last three games properly giving his all. And you just looked at him and thought, I remember seeing his name on the team sheet at the beginning of the game, thinking, really? Mm. Again? Like, how? He's not Superman, as much as he wants to think he is.
Yeah.
So, I think for me, the Liverpool back line, if you ride your luck with Robertson, then, you know, I can understand it because he is top quality. And as you said, could have easily had some attacking returns in that game as well as a clean sheet and then would have got the bonus points.
Well, the next two for Liverpool, by the way, Wolves at home and then Fulham away. Now, of course, that Fulham away game looks pretty good for Liverpool and you'd expect points at both ends of Robertson. Wolves at home, suddenly, on the basis of what we just watched in that first 45 minutes, and you guys can keep us up to date with what's going on in the live chat, but Wolves with that switch of system and four at the back and committing more going forward, they went to the Emirates tonight to have a go at it. And I suggest they're going to come to Anfield with the same mentality, don't you? Against that Liverpool back line with a Nat Phillips or a Nico Williams at right back. There's a potential for goals there.
I think so, and I think if you play Liverpool right now at this moment, that's the way you should play the game because the Liverpool back line is gettable. There are spaces, there is opportunities to get goals in those games. Now, it's hard to keep clean sheets against Liverpool because of the type of players that you have going forward. But in the same way that Liverpool's best defence is attack right now, the best defence for the other teams is also to attack right now. So I think that Wolves will go and have a go at Liverpool and see what comes of it.
So just to finish up on the Liverpool thing then, Jota, you still think as an addition to Salah stroke Mane rather than instead of?
I do, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Right, interesting.
Well, what are you going to do?
More on that a bit later on.
Secret squirrel.
Brighton then, for their part. Neil Maupay pulls a hamstring taking a penalty, which is an interesting concept. Never seen that before.
It's embarrassing.
Looked like he couldn't wait to get off the pitch, Neil Maupay. I don't know...
What has gone on there?
I don't know. Let's not talk about it, because obviously he's done his hamstring. He's not around for a while now. But since he did that handball in the last... Do you remember the Man United game? He does the Panenka, and it's like, oh, look at me, I'm the Panenka. Then he gives away the handball in like the after the final whistle. It's his fault they lose the game, frankly. He's not been the same since.
Then he has a row.
Couldn't hit a barn door right
gets
now.
Gets left out of the Spurs game.
Yeah, it's really not weird. Right, is he? Like, not right,
something's gone on there, and obviously it's a problem. And I think, for me, they really missed Lamptey. They really missed him. They missed his energy.
He's one of their most attacking, if not the most attacking player in that side.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous for a defender. But I think they really did miss them against Liverpool. But equally, and you won't like me for saying this, I thought that they were a bit unlucky at points during that game. They had some opportunities, and if they actually had a striker on the pitch, you could finish stuff. They would have, and they could have, got more goals than they did.
All right, okay. Well, Sanjay Patel saying, I think he wanted an excuse more pipes. Certainly felt like that, Sanjay, didn't it? It was like, yeah, I've missed a pen. Oh, God, I've missed another one. Off
and
I
then
go.
He took Connolly off. Just got to get Connolly off. Connolly was having a great game.
Well, that was an interesting one. That was it, because Connolly was playing well, wasn't he? Yeah. He was giving those guys at the back, especially Nat Phillips, who is a, let's face it, he's an old school defender, isn't he? He's get up and head it and boot it away. And Connolly was just in and around, ratting around and playing very, very well indeed.
Ratting around. That's
did you sell Lamptey or did you keep Lamptey?
No, I kept him.
You kept him. So now Lamptey comes into Southampton at home, Leicester away, Fulham away, and then Sheffield United at home. So three of the next four look pretty good. That Leicester away game looks difficult for him. But Southampton, despite the goals against Manchester United, didn't create very much, in my opinion, outside of set pieces and James Ward-Prowse. But we'll talk about them in a bit more detail later on. But Lamptey looking like a reasonable hold now.
Well, I couldn't decide on what to do. I knew I wanted Diaz, and I couldn't decide how to go about it. So I literally ran the fixtures and thought, whichever club is worse for fixtures, that's the player that will go. And ended up being Leeds.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on. Manchester City 5, Burnley 0. We sat here last week and we said, City, maybe we just wait and see on the Burnley game because they've only scored one goal in each of their last five, or they haven't been really sort of flying away, hitting the heights. Well, we sat, we waited, we watched. Now we've got our act, haven't we?
We learn. And the thing is that I get that this sounds a bit stupid given that they won 5-0. But it didn't hurt. It didn't cost me any rank. Every time a City goal went in, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
KDB two assists. I was like,
nothing.
Oh. Yeah.
Nothing. And I was like, what? Yeah. Okay. So that says something, doesn't it?
Everyone was waiting, weren't they?
Yeah. I think a lot of people were just a bit like, you know, there was obviously some people that went, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing it. I don't, you know, I've got this problem or that problem and I'm doing it. And that was a great option. Particularly, not so great if you want Sterling, but if you went KDB, then it was a great option.
Yeah, okay. What about this Mahrez versus KDB thing? What are we saying about this? It's too much of a risk, isn't he, Mahrez? I've already been bitten by the Pep roulette this week with the Cancelo transfer, which I'll talk about in a sec. But if you bring in Mahrez, as Sterling owners found out this week, you've got to be prepared to... You just... sort of an hour before the game, you're on Twitter, aren't you? And you're just refresh. Oh, it's that sort of Pep roulette, isn't it? And in a game against Fulham, where you're expecting big goals, you want your Man City attacker to play. And if Mahrez doesn't play, it's going to kill you.
Yeah. And I think for me, you look at Man City and you know that in the next week, for the next game, Sterling's going to be back. So it's like, okay, well, Sterling's going to be back.
This is it now. Yeah. So Sterling's probably going to play.
So who's going to miss out? You've got Ferran Torres, played well. Mahrez, played well. Foden, don't know what he can do to get a game. There's so many options in that midfield, and it's always been the same at Man City. Look, let's not kind of beat around the bush. We've always had it. We used to have it with David Silva, Bernardo Silva, Foden, Mahrez.
The Pep roulette is a well trodden path, isn't it, for FPL managers?
It's not different this year. It's just that
it's just come around a bit later, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just taken 10 weeks.
Yeah,
but we're 10 weeks in now, and Man City's fixtures are better. We finally saw them score more than one goal in a game, which made a big difference. But it didn't hurt any of our ranks right now because they're not very lowly owned. If you owned them, it would have been a nice rank booster, but it didn't hurt.
And as Nevis 28, thank you Nevis for the live chat, he's saying De Bruyne could have got way more points. And I agree with you, yes, he could have had a... I think he got two assists in the end. How many bonus points? Only the one bonus point. One off the bar, could have had another assist, which I think was ruled out for VAR. So listen, could have been a haul for Kevin De Bruyne. And like you say, didn't hurt your rank this week.
But it will next.
I feel like a lot of people are going to pile in now.
It will, yeah. And so I think then it comes down to a point, doesn't it, where suddenly, and this is the point in the season we've all been waiting for, you suddenly have to make choices. Tough choices.
It's going to be really interesting, I think. Yeah,
you have to make tough choices. And you have to go into them with your eyes open, knowing that the players you don't own can hurt you.
Yeah.
But you can't own everybody.
But so this is, so sorry to cut across, so this is my absolute gut feel thinking here on a Sunday night. Bear in mind we've got a week to go, but this is my gut feel thinking, is that you've got De Bruyne, you've got Bruno, you've got Kane, and you've got Salah stroke Mane. Those are your big four. Now I hear you, I think it is very difficult to have all four of those. Anybody that's got a team with all four of those, love to see it in the comments, by the way. If you've got a Brewster, a Bissouma, and a load of 4.0s at the back, maybe it's possible. I don't know. I haven't tried to draft it, but those are the big four. Now, if you want, if you're going to go with Bruno and Kevin De Bruyne, like I say, those two, I think, need to be locked in my opinion, going forward. And then you've got Kane, who's absolutely playing out of his skin. You've got this Arsenal. That Arsenal game next week has got the potential for Spurs to rip it up by the way that Arsenal are playing. So then you're looking at Salah, aren't you? You're looking at Salah and going, well, is there a credible alternative that can free up a ton of money for me in that Liverpool first 11? And right now, yes, there is, and it's Diogo Jota. And I feel like that is how I'm thinking right now. I feel like the Salah, I looked at it, it cost me a -8 to do, but I could do Salah down to Jota, and I could do Son and Ziyech up to Bruno and to Kevin De Bruyne for a -8. And I feel like that is on right now, guys. The way I'm feeling about it right now, I feel like that is on, because Jota is looking like a really, really credible alternative. Now, I hear the obvious commentary about it is, well, when that front three are fit, you know, does Jota get in the team? Well, listen, they've been fit before, all four of them, and Klopp played all four of them. And he put Jota there in the 10, didn't he? Almost playing interchangeably with Firmino. Now, he tried that again this weekend. He rested Mane, put Jota out there, played Minamino in the 10, who actually had a guff game. But nevertheless, Jota still gets the start. Who comes off on the hour this week? It's Salah. He gets the rest. Yeah, and okay, the COVID, yes, I get it. But Jota is the one getting all the minutes right now.
But not because, right, you're not telling me that if Salah hasn't had COVID, that Salah gets hauled on 60 minutes. Absolutely no way on this planet. You need your head red if you think that's the case. Jota would have come off, or probably Minamino.
Well, possibly.
But no chance would it have been Salah.
You
absolutely
guys are saying, James Stevenson, don't do that, Lee. Ali Mohsen is saying, you can't drop Salah before Fulham, Lee. Flynn is saying, I absolutely love it, Lee. Sim is saying, first rule of FPL, Lee, never sell Salah. Well, there we go. You guys are a bit split in the live chat. Thank you for the super chats. Matthew Knights for the super chat. Matt, you didn't leave a comment, mate, so feel free to leave a comment without another super chat and we'll read it out. Mark Dorney, he who I have been doing dirty.
Say sorry.
All week. Sorry, Mark. It's been a long week at work, mate. I apologise. But Mark, top currently of our manager monthly for November. He wants Bruno, Kane and Salah is his three. And Mahrez has only missed two league games and did not come on in those two. So surely he's worth the risk, Mahrez. He's only missed two league games.
That's interesting.
And when he missed out, he missed out. He didn't cameo.
I mean, that is interesting.
Interesting
for Mark.
That is
an interesting point, yeah.
Very, very good. What else to say about Man City defensively? Now, I don't want to talk too much about Burnley, I don't think, but from a Man City defence perspective, a lot of rhetoric this week talking about Diaz versus Cancelo. Of course, Cancelo a rotation risk, but the creativity of the guy and the chances that he created means you're potentially you're signing up for a bit more upside. Whereas Diaz, okay, can get goals, and we've seen that from him internationally, but you're probably going to, most weeks it's going to be a solid six. But, you know, less threat of rotation.
And we had different views on this, didn't we?
Well, we did, yeah, because you transferred in Diaz this week I transferred in Cancelo. So we did.
We fundamentally
disagree on it.
And on who to take out, because we had the same choices for
correct.
People to lose.
Yeah, correct.
So we made completely different calls this week.
That was weird, wasn't it? Because, yeah, you took out Dallas to do that move
rather
than Kyle Walker-Peters. And I took out Kyle Walker-Peters rather than Dallas to do that move. So we did fundamentally disagree.
Yeah.
Either way, we both felt like Man City defence was a defence worth getting on. And I still stand by that.
Yes.
And the reason I went for Cancelo in the end was because I looked at my bench and I thought, well, you know, if Cancelo doesn't play, all right, I risk the cameo, but I've got players on my bench that can cover that, as per Chilwell today, who's covered it. Now, listen, if Max Kilman isn't going to be a regular starter for Wolves going forward, that makes that a bit more of a... Maybe I have to have a rethink on that. But I still think Cancelo and Diaz will share a lot of points going forward over these next few fixtures for Man City.
I am denied, and I must admit, I nearly went Cancelo as well, on the basis that...
Kilman's on! Oh, disgusting. Everyone's like, oh, Kilman's on. Love it, Kilman's on. Kilman the legend. They're 2-1 up, right? That's why he's come on. He's come on to shore it up. Unbelievable. Max Kilman coming on for a one-pointer.
Do you know what?
Blocking my Dallas 8-pointer.
Tragic. I sort of know how you felt now when Watkins braced the other week. I sort of understand it now. That's how I felt when Watkins braced on my bench.
Guys in the chat are too happy about this. You're too happy. Look, Zach Twyman, Lord Kilman Rise. Get out of here, Zach. You got kicked off the mods. Kick him out. Who else is happy about this? Gurav serves you right. Gurav, get out of here. Not having this. the tactician, no jam today. Oh,
so has he got some? Because he's got Chilwell coming off of Cancelo.
Oh, I'd love that Dallas 8 points. That'd save my bacon this week. That'd save my bacon. Never mind. Not
moving
to
back to not me to talking me. About Dias. I felt slightly differently. So Lee went into this, and I admire your bravery on it, actually, in some ways, because you looked at it and was like, no, I want to cover the clean sheets, but I also want some upside. I felt a little bit more concerned by Pep and his roulette.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
And I looked at the fixtures between now and 22, bar a Chelsea game and a Man United derby, and thought, I want 10 clean sheets. More than I want an attacking return. I've got Chilwell and Creswell who could bring
solid
some of
six a week. We
I
take
just
that.
Want six yeah, every fair single enough. Week, fair and so enough. Dias was the one I went for.
All
right. Well, it remains to be seen as to who took out the right person this week. You took out the right person in Kyle Walker-Peters, although he did nearly score a goal.
Hit the post, didn't he, yeah. Kyle Walker-Peters? Yeah. I like the look of Dallas going forward. I mean, I would have liked to have got his 8 points this week and flipping played him. That's 13 points I've benched for Dallas in the last 2 weeks. But listen, I'm going to learn from that and not bench him going forward. He looks pretty attacking, right?
He's shooting does,
on
yeah,
sight,
yeah.
All the rest of it. I like him.
Yeah. It was
Chelsea away next, though.
And that's why I took him out, because he hadn't had any price rises, had nothing invested in him, and the fixtures are a bit tough. I didn't see many clean sheets.
All right, well, there we go. Man City 5, Burnley 0. Let's have a quick chat about Dallas's Leeds then. Everton 0, Leeds 1. How much more do we want to say about how impressed we are with Leeds? I mean, I love watching them. I enjoyed watching the bits of the games that I did watch. Rafinha with a really nice goal. Nothing for Bamford in this game, but no. I don't think Bamford owners should stress about that too much. I still think he was in reasonable positions. How are we feeling, though, as Dominic Calvert-Lewin owners away at Burnley next week, but then Chelsea, Leicester and Arsenal in the following three after that? As James and Suj said on the Planet FPL podcast, if you haven't checked that out, go check out the Planet FPL podcast with James and Suj. I listen to it every single week. Really, really good stuff. James was saying, all right, well, if Calvert-Lewin blanks in this game against Leeds and then has a bit of an off day against Burnley, watch people sell the hell out of him before that run of three fixtures. And they will.
Did you see this coming?
Did I see this coming? No, not really.
No, I didn't.
No, not really. Hence the Dallas benching, I suppose.
Well,
I expected Everton to get something from this game. Yeah. Especially with the players back. Did the Dina loss affect them more than we think in terms of balance? I mean, James as well was kind of... I don't know, the Hammers that we saw at the beginning of the season was just full of joie de vivre, wasn't he? He came into the league, fantastic. I feel like the Hammers that we saw at the weekend, the bits that I saw, because I was a bit in and out of the game, but the bits that I saw were a bit more of the Hammers that I was expecting.
Right.
Sorry, Everton fans, but this was the Hammers I was expecting, which was, oh, throw myself on the floor, ask for bookings, you know, shrugging all the time. You know, not, you know, I don't know, maybe not putting in quite so much effort as he was before. I don't know. Is James gone off the boil now, or what's gone on at Everton?
Well, I said last week I'd sell James because he was always constantly assist. He didn't look like he was involved enough in the play for me. But last weekend, you know, the Richarlison, I'm now starting to question. I let Richarlison get more praise from me than he ever has over the last week.
You let him. Yeah.
I somehow let him get under my skin, and somehow I found myself giving him some credit for stuff. And I don't like myself for it. I've given myself a talking to.
It's not wrong.
It's all kinds of wrong. And then this is how he repays me. Absolute mug. But I wonder actually whether he had an immediate impact in that last game with the assist in the first minute. But actually, maybe it was more about Dina. I'm starting to question whether it was Dina coming back that had the bigger impact.
Do you think with both Dina and Coleman, I still think Coleman missing...
Is big
because of the captaincy and everything else in terms of balance. But now with Dina as well, they're just... That threat that was coming down the wings, which was such a massive threat... it's not gone, but it's significantly reduced without those two in there, isn't it? And that's where Dominic Calvert-Lewin was getting a lot of his assists from, right?
It's hard.
A lot of the service.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on, but I mean, I'm certainly not going to sell Dominic Calvert-Lewin ahead of Burnley.
No.
Particularly if Nick Pope is still out for that game. There's goals in that for Everton, surely.
And from a Leeds perspective, I don't think anyone's bringing them in ahead of Chelsea, but then West Ham, Newcastle at home back-to-back 12 and 13, followed up by Burnley at home in 15... Only a trip to Old Trafford in 14 to kind of muddy the waters there. Leeds are a hold, I would suggest. Don't panic. Well, they won the game, so clearly don't panic.
I'm still not convinced that they'll keep many clean sheets.
Okay.
Which is why I took Dallas out. But I do think Bamford still makes a really, really nice option. And I really did like the look of the new kid.
Rafinha.
Yeah, I thought he looked really, really good.
Attack with purpose, didn't he? Really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, really good. An interesting knee. I did the pod last week with Jules Laron. He was talking for a long time about Rafinha and how good an option
yes,
he thought
that.
He was going to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Didn't bring him in, though.
He didn't, or you didn't?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. Yeah, well, he might do now.
I
might
think he should now. It was a good option, I think.
Let's move on. I don't want to talk about West Brom versus Sheffield United. Not least.
It was a good game.
Didn't bother watching the game.
I did.
Who even scored? Gallagher. Was it? What was anything to say about that game?
Not a lot to say, but it was genuinely.
Sheffield United doomed, aren't they?
I put it on expecting it to be an absolute car crash of a game. Nothing happening. It was not. Sheffield United played really well, but they have got nobody to finish a goddamn ball. And that's the problem. And that is why they're going to get relegated, because they cannot score goals.
Not enough goals.
So many
Even
opportunities.
Even with Brewster there, not enough
They made
goals.
So many opportunities in that game, and they did not end one of them well.
All right, let's move on to Chelsea 0, Spurs 0. Then we'll talk about Manchester United game. I haven't missed that out, United fans. I'm going to come back to that. Chelsea 0, Spurs 0. I think in the end, Mourinho probably the happier of the two managers, I would suggest. It looked like for a large majority of the game, he was playing for the draw. Got what he wanted. You're top of the league. What's not to like?
Asking me in my opinion, I couldn't be more pleased with how that game went. From a Spurs
very
point
disciplined
of view,
performance. Joe Roden played well at centre half.
But look, if you'd have said to me 2 weeks ago, you get two clean sheets against Man City and Chelsea, and you have 4 points from it.
Yeah,
snatch
absolutely.
Your hand off.
It's
a testament to how much change Mourinho had. And I know you'll all go, oh yeah, but you know, he does this and then he'll go off the boil. I don't care if he goes off the boil next season. The fact that we have never played this well consistently. I have never seen this from Spurs. I've never seen us so solid defensively. And we were without Toby Alderweireld today. Roden played and I thought had a really good first Premier League start.
Yeah.
Even Aurier, oh my God, he made so many mistakes. But he didn't get sent off and
you
he didn't concede any goals.
Watching Aurier with you is quality. I'm trying to think back to the Liverpool player who made me feel like that. Who was the player? The Liverpool player?
I don't know.
There was a centre-half who used to play.
Oh, Lovren?
Nah.
Yeah, Lovren against Kane.
Worse than Lovren.
Who?
I can't remember. There was a Liverpool centre-half, and whenever he got the ball, I was like, what are you doing? Oh, it's the guy at Palace, Sakho. I was the same, because every time Sakho gets the ball, you're like, what are you doing? Watching Aurier with you is hilarious. But what I tell you, so my opinion is I'm not going to say a neutral, because I wasn't a neutral. I was obviously back in the Spurs win today. But what I was impressed with was how Spurs have found a different way to play football depending on the game. So what I saw today was actually what I've been expecting of Spurs all season. I thought in game week one, this is what Spurs are going to be. They're going to be defensively very, very sound. It's going to be pretty unambitious, but you're going to grind out some wins here or there and you'll get points away from home at places like Stamford Bridge, but it'll be pretty uninspiring. What we've seen is that Spurs can play very, very inspirational football, very, very open and expansive attacking football, but when you need to, when you want to dig your heels in and go and get a point, because that's a good result at Stamford Bridge.
And it is for us.
And it is a very good result at Stamford Bridge, given you lost there
every year.
Last season and every year, as long as I can remember. I can't remember the last time
really
Spurs won at Stamford Bridge.
Twice in 10 years, I think.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't remember. But listen, it is a different sort of Spurs.
Yeah.
And you got a point. What'll be interesting is whether you...
No, we won't.
What?
We will not play like this next week against Arsenal.
Well, no, that's my point. That's what I was going to say. Was do you now switch back to the other type of Spurs against Arsenal?
Home.
And then do you switch back again to what we saw today for the Liverpool game?
No. We will not play like that against you.
Because, I hope not. I hope you do come
game
at us.
Will not. That is not the game to go and defend. The next two, well, there's one in between, isn't there? Palace. We will go gung-ho against Arsenal because we will see weakness and therefore we will go. And we saw that in Man City in some ways. We held for a lot of the time. We defended well when we needed to and we went. Against Chelsea today, there was a plan and a strategy. And it was clear from the very beginning of the match that the plan was to defend well, to have almost six at the back with Højbjerg and Sissoko doing their bits as well, and then go on the counter. Now, where the game kind of lacked was that the goal on the counter wasn't quite right. Bergwijn, for me, wasn't the right boy for that today.
Yeah.
It needed Lucas Moura and it needed Lo Celso earlier than they came on. But having said that, I felt it was a really good Spurs performance. Now, what does it mean for me in terms of FPL with Son and Kane?
Yeah, you got the two, as I have, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not worried about still owning them both.
I fancy both of them against Arsenal, I'll be honest.
Because I'm looking at the Arsenal game thinking, we won't play like that again. There will be very, very few games this season that we will go away anywhere and play like that. But today against that Chelsea team and how good that Chelsea team are in terms of going forward, but also in defence, they are a quality team. Mourinho knows that and he's not an idiot. And he knows that going into that game and getting a point
is very, very good.
And that is a very, very good result.
What's interesting about the mentality now that Spurs take for that Arsenal game is, I think, if you go back pre-Mourinho, even to Poch, I know you love Poch, but Poch, you know, what would happen is you'd get to that London derby and the feeling about it would be very equal, as London derbies often are, and you'd either Spurs would get a draw or they would play Arsenal back into form and Arsenal would win the game. That's the kind of typical Spursy thing to do. This season, I don't think we're going to see that because I think Spurs are going to go into that game and go, right, we've got the opportunity to really nail these guys here. Arsenal are not in form.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. We smell blood. We're going to be bastards, as Jose says. Yeah. And I think you'll go for them next week.
In front of 2,000 home fans.
I totally see it.
And that, for me, is the icing on the cake because I think we are brimming with confidence. You saw it against Ludogorets. Now, take it. Obviously, Ludogorets is a different entity. Yeah. But you saw it against Ludogorets. You saw it against Man City last week. In fact, you've seen it for the last 10 game weeks now. And even today, the confidence was there. They weren't scared. They played their game. They knew what they had to do, each and every one of them, and they played well. They'll go into Arsenal in game week 11 with the confidence really high. And they know that they've got 2,000 fans. Now, that might not seem like a lot, but my goodness, that will mean the world to those players on the pitch. And the fact that there's not a single away fan in that stand will make a massive, massive difference in a North London derby. For me, holding Kane and Son for that game, now, what you choose to do with them after game week 11 remains to be seen. But for me this week, and this gives me a little bit of insight into where I'm going with my transfers, but I have to lose one of them to bring in a Man City player.
Mm.
And it has to be for a hit, because it's the only way to bring in KDB is to take a hit and lose both Spurs players, really.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared to take a hit and lose both Spurs players ahead of that Arsenal game. I'm really not.
Yeah. Even with City playing Fulham?
No.
Interesting. All right, interesting. Chelsea for their part then. So a clean sheet for Zouma owners, a clean sheet for Chilwell owners. So still defensively, Chelsea continuing to impress, to be honest with you. Chilwell's going absolutely nowhere for me.
No.
So I'd keep him absolutely.
Really good.
Ziyech, on the other hand, and Werner. Werner, a bit unlucky today. You could see in the same way that Spurs maybe held back a little bit. I don't know whether Chelsea maybe held back a little bit and maybe we might see Chelsea come out of their shell a bit more going forward. Chelsea fixtures going forward. Leeds at home next, which is not an easy game, by the way that Leeds play away from home. Then it's Everton and Wolves away. It's West Ham at home, Arsenal away. So the Chelsea fixtures very much middling, I would suggest. But the way they're playing, defensively, I'd back them. It's just that going forward right now, Ziyech looks like a really, really nice player. But he sort of looks a bit like his ceiling in a game is maybe an assist or two. I don't feel like he carries much goal threat. And at 8 point something, I'm feeling like his time might be up in my team.
And are you a little bit concerned about this on the basis that obviously we saw Pulisic again today for the first time in what felt like about 8 years? Because he's grown a massive beard as well while he's been gone.
Yeah.
Does that concern you in terms of his positioning on the pitch? Or do you think that makes Ziyech... Does it improve him? Does it make him less of an option?
I think Ziyech is all right because Ziyech is right, isn't he? And Pulisic is
left. I'm not saying
that
they take their positions, but does it do... Well, obviously, it changes the... Changes the balance, doesn't it? Because we're probably going to see Werner move back into the middle and that probably means Abraham disappears.
Possibly. Havertz as well back in the mix
Havertz
today
back,
off the bench.
Like there's a lot of going to... With all these guys coming back, I feel like there's going to be a lot of change in the way that Chelsea are set up. And then what does that mean for the assets that have been popular so far? Are they still going to be the right ones, I guess?
Yeah, my fear on Ziyech is exactly what I just said. I'm looking at him, nice player, like him a lot. I think he's a very good asset for Chelsea. I just feel in FPL, like, I didn't see him carry a lot of goal threat.
No.
Assist threat, his XA is presumably pretty good, but his XG, I haven't looked at any of the stats, you guys can tell me in the chat, don't feel like he's carrying a lot of threat. And for that, That's a bit of a concern for me, yeah. It's a bit of a concern. So he would be one of the make weights for me, to be honest with you, if I went with my minus eight master plan I'm thinking about.
Oh,
today.
My God.
But anyway, Chelsea,
minus eight.
Looking good. Do not sell their assets ahead of Leeds would be my suggestion. And they continue to look good. Had they won today, they would have been top of the league, right? Would have been top
of the league.
Got
the fidgets today.
What else to discuss, Sam? Of course, we've got to go to the match. Let's go there last, because we can't really comment too much on the Arsenal game, because we only watched the first half. But let's comment on this game. Southampton 2, Manchester United 3. Now, I gave Man United absolute hiding on this live stream last week when I was talking about how lucky they were with that penalty and how West Brom could have won that game. And I will stand by that. But I will also say, Manchester United fans, what a good performance that was today.
Second half.
Particularly in the second half. First half, defensively, was a little bit all over the place, especially from set pieces. However, you ain't going to come up against too many better set piece takers than James Ward-Prowse this season.
Unbelievable
the way that he delivers a free kick or a corner. However, second half, I thought two things happened. One was Man United stepped it up and Cavani made all the difference with his movement, just intelligent movement, not quick, just intelligent movement against defenders that are not quick. Bednarek and Vestergaard are not quick. So Edison Cavani was kind of looking at those guys, right, saying, well, I'm on a par with these guys in terms of speed and agility. It's just whether I can beat them mentally now. And it's Cavani, so yes, you can be better than Vestergaard and Bednarek. Of course you can. If he was coming up against quicker defenders, the speed kind of compensates for a bit of that. But yeah. Cavani played well. The other thing was that I thought Saints died a little bit last 15, 20 minutes. And what I mean by that was, obviously, Hasenhüttl's got them playing this high-tempo, high-pressing game all season. I do wonder whether that caught up with them a little bit in that last 10 or 15 minutes. Thoughts on the game?
Maybe, because I think over the course of the last few game weeks, most other teams, the last 15 minutes of those Southampton games generally have been a little bit lower tempo because their opposition has kind of tailed off. Whereas United did the absolute opposite with that today. They built momentum over the course of the second half and ended up with a really high tempo, really gung-ho approach to the game. And absolute credit to United and to Ollie, who kind of got everything right in that end period of the game. Like, he obviously, whatever he said at half time, the new strategy, it all worked. So from that point of view, it was really good. I mean, for me, Bruno Fernandes was my captain this week. His away form did it in the end.
That's his fourth double digit away haul out of four. He's just, you cannot ignore him now. And I obviously,
and it's not just penalties. I know that it was last
week. Yeah, I know. But I mean, last week was, all right, in my view, jammy. And that obviously split the community a little bit. But this week was not jammy, right?
No.
His goal and assist, could have had more were it not for McCarthy and his eight arms that he's got. He's unbelievable, McCarthy.
Keeper's just fabulous, isn't he?
Very, very good goalkeeper. Especially in that first half, kept them at bay. So Bruno, again, on another day. And actually, we said there's a lot of the Bruno owners, not me, but a lot of Bruno owners last week were saying, well, Lee, listen, I know you're saying he's lucky. He's actually a bit unlucky because he could have had two assists, could have had a 20-pointer. This week, again, could have had a 20-pointer. And again, a week where United, they're good second half, but first half they weren't good. So again, it's not as if there was a fantastic performance by United. It was a good performance, but he is at the heart of absolutely everything.
The thing is, for me anyway, I watch United and I sat there in that game today and I remember saying to you at the beginning of the game, as long as McCarthy gets me some save points, I'm happy with that. Because I'm so, almost, away from home, I've just become so convinced that Bruno's going to return points every week. Like, I don't even think about it. It's almost like, okay, well, he's going to return at least a goal because he's away from home.
Owned by about 68% of the top 100k, I look before I come on. So that, and if I look around my team and I look at what's really hurting, it's him. It's him. And I've got a real decision to make this week. If I go with my minus eight master plan and bring him and KDB in, then that I've got both bases covered. But otherwise, I've got to think about, do I nullify the threat of Bruno or do I jump on the upside opportunity of KDB?
That's tough.
That's a difficult decision, isn't it?
That's tough.
That's a difficult... Because obviously, KDB still... reasonably low ownership for Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah,
I mean, come next game week, he'll be over 20%, clearly. But that's still...
But it's still low.
For De Bruyne, that is still low, based on what we've seen before.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think I'm going to go another week without KDB, because at 20%, he's not going to hurt me still.
Yeah.
The week after, if I've rolled transfer and I can do it for free, and Spurs have got through that Arsenal game, then there's a question to be asked, isn't there? Because his ownership is only going to... KDB's ownership is only going to increase over the next... 3, 4, 5 weeks, and we'll have him up at this 50-60%, I'm sure.
That's I think that's kind of where I am. If I don't go for the -8 master plan, I feel like I'll probably stop the hemorrhaging first with Bruno rather than chase the upside of KDB. I don't know. But then if I bought KDB, and I'd probably captain him. Difficult. Lots to discuss over the next week or so.
Would you Edison, get to Bruno next week?
Could I get to Bruno next
Would
week?
Would you captain Bruno next
Would
week?
I captain Bruno?
Because that's another interesting question, isn't it?
If what's the fixture? West Ham away?
Because if you're saying I'll bring KDB in and I'd captain him, well, it's Bruno in an away game. So,
Yeah, true enough. In West Ham, which is a game we can absolutely do bits in. Absolutely. Lots to think about. I haven't even thought about it yet. Sam, just before we carry on, I want to talk to you about Cavani in a minute, whether he could be an FPL asset. Something to cheer you up. Full-time at the Emirates. Arsenal have lost again, Sam. 2-1 to Wolves, and they are now 14th in the Premier League. Spurs, all the way in first, can just about see the red side of Arsenal down in 14th. Happy? For the benefit of the podcast listeners, Sam put her thumbs up.
Edison, I don't want to say anything in case there's some Arsenal fans in the chat.
There will be some Arsenal fans in the chat. And I cannot wait for a bit of Arsenal Fan TV.
Lee's going to be on Arsenal Fan TV all night.
Oh, sensational stuff. It's absolutely compulsive viewing. Edison Cavani then.
Interesting, wasn't it?
Well, it is interesting because I thought that with Rashford through the middle there, it was tailor-made to break that Saints high back line. And he did get in behind once. And again, you know, superhero McCarthy save from Rashford, in a one-on-one. So they did break it once or twice, but not often. But then when they pushed, obviously Saints trying to, you know, just stay in the game, getting knackered. What Ollie obviously spotted was, right, we're hemming them in. We push them back now. So we can't get in behind because they're sitting back and deep. I stick Cavani on, and his instinctive, you know, just such a quality player, that just kicked in. I honestly thought Ollie did absolutely get that spot on today.
He did, yeah.
Now, do I think Cavani is a good FPL asset going forward? I'm not sure.
Play every game.
Because I don't feel like that's going to be his plan A ever.
No.
I still think his plan A is to get in behind with the pace. If he comes up against teams that are low block, so let's have a look at the Manchester United fixtures. West Ham away.
They weren't low block.
No. Man City, no. Sheffield United away. Well, Sheffield United could sit in, I suppose.
They won't.
They're rubbish, right? United will have enough to beat them. Leeds won't, and then Leicester won't. So I don't see too many opportunities where United are going to be coming up against that really low block like they did in the last 20 minutes against a knackered Southampton and Cavani being an asset. Do you agree?
It's just Fernandes. Don't mess around. In my opinion with United, don't mess around. Just get Bruno and be done with it.
Yeah.
You could pick Rashford and save yourself a million. Yes, you could go with one of the defenders and yeah, might be occasionally some clean sheets. But you'll always just look at them and go, why don't I own Bruno?
Yeah.
And so at that point...
Both?
What?
Cavani and Bruno in
no,
your team?
Just no, just Bruno is enough.
Okay, alright.
There's too much else to do to worry about having Cavani. He's just a rotation risk.
Bruno in your team, guys. You heard it here first. So there we go. That is, or they are, the fixtures. A quick shout for Callum Wilson and Joe Linton all the way back on Friday night. I don't want to talk about this game too much because Newcastle, despite the fixtures, Villa, West Brom, Leeds and Fulham coming up, the fixtures do look nice. So could you have a look at Callum Wilson, or do you know that bringing in Callum Wilson is going to do exactly what bringing in Callum Wilson does for FPL managers, which is absolutely naffle?
No. The only person I might
is Joe Linton.
What? Never.
He was so rubbish, and he got like a 9-10 point haul in that game. Rubbish.
That hurt nobody. Nobody owns Joe Linton. The only person...
I looked it up during the game. What? How much do you think they paid for Joe Linton, and how many years on his contract?
Well, Pepe was worth 72 million.
Joe Linton, 40 million. And how many years on a contract? 6-year contract they're giving. 6-year contract for Joe Linton.
How long's he been there now?
Almiron, 5-year contract. Oh, for goodness. That's what I'm saying.
This is why Newcastle were in trouble, I'm telling you. The only person I might vaguely look at in Newcastle is Jamal Lewis. And the only reason is because he is uber cheap. And if you're looking for a way to fund all these big hitters that we all want, then maybe look at Jamal Lewis because he's super cheap and the fixtures aren't too bad.
Maybe. All right, well, if you've got Crystal Palace, then hold. It's West Brom next, but then sell. Spurs, West Ham away.
Who are you going to hold?
Liverpool, and then Aston Villa away. So if you've got Sam's favourite, Wilfred Zaha.
What, he's got COVID?
He'll have recovered by then, goodness me.
Nobody's got, holding him for 2 weeks.
If you've got him or Patrick Van Aanholt, maybe keep them for West Brom, but then I would think it's all out of Crystal Palace. Right, Sam?
Bet West Brom win that
Let's
game.
Get to... where are we going to go? Let's go to me first, because we always start with the lowest scores. We always start with me first every single damn week. 35 points this week, which is very, very bang average, if not a little bit below average. I think I would have been okay-ish had the Dallas points come in, but they did not. So my game week is very much dependent on Mr. Jack Grealish now. It's a case of what could have been, as with so many game weeks. No returns pretty much for any of my players, except Mo Salah, who got the 12 points. Obviously could have had more were he not called for offside. Not going to go down that ranting route again. Robertson, last minute penalty. Could have been different. Chilwell gets the bonus points with the clean sheets. I'm happy with him, but a lot of players have got Chilwell. So really, I was looking for that jammy Dallas 8-pointer to come on for Kilman, really. Would have saved my bacon a little bit and spared my blushes. But my team, not looking too great. I'm not feeling great about it at the minute. I'm really not. I mean, I've got to get Fernandez, haven't I? I've got to. I mean, I've got to stop that hemorrhage every single week. It's killing me.
And I don't think that needs a minus 8, though. I really don't.
Well, the thing is, part of that minus 8 would be to lose Ziyech and Son. Now, I really don't want to lose Son ahead of the Arsenal game.
Can't
I really
you just downgrade... Quite... Why do you have such a thing about Jack Grealish? Can't you please just downgrade Grealish? Just get rid of him. He is a useless waste of space.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not.
Quality player.
Has he brought you any FPL returns recently?
Yes. Not last game, admittedly. But listen,
has he bought you as many as Bruno would if you owned Bruno?
He's 4 million cheaper than Bruno. How can you compare
Sell him.
The two?
Sell him, get Yves Bissouma, and then use the money to upgrade Ziyech. It's an absolute no-brainer.
Ziyech to Fernandes definitely does look on, but I'm not feeling...
And then you get to keep some for the derby.
I'm not feeling getting rid of Grealish with these fixtures coming up. Newcastle at home next, then Wolves away, Burnley at home, West Brom away, Crystal Palace at home, Sam. How can you sell Grealish ahead of those fixtures? You
Easily.
Just can't.
You go, you just can't. Take my money.
Listen, I'm going to see how he performs tomorrow and then maybe make a judgment. But as I mentioned before, earlier on in the live stream, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, after that Burnley game, it's Chelsea, Leicester and Arsenal. They look difficult. And if Everton, if they don't start showing me something in that Burnley game,
yeah,
Dominic Calvert-Lewin could be on the way out. Che Adams as well is a problem, no doubt about it, because he just is. I mean, I know that's his first blank in a long time, but Southampton are not creating enough from open play. And he's not involved enough from set pieces. At set pieces, who do they look for? Bednarek, Vestergaard. That's it.
Yeah.
They don't look for Che Adams. And Che Adams, yeah, I like him. He's sort of plucky, isn't he? He's a bit sort of cult hero status. And is he stepping up in Ings' absence? Well, I guess maybe he is, because it's the first time he's blanked in a while. But I just don't feel like he's got an explosion in him. Do you know what I mean? In the same way that I don't fancy Ziyech much. But like, I don't see Ziyech getting 2 goals in a game, for example. Just don't see it.
No.
I don't see it for Adams either. Whereas Son, I absolutely can get 2 goals in a game. He's proved it already this season. And he's got Arsenal and some fixtures coming up where he could do that. So I still, despite the blank for Son this week, I don't feel like I really want to sell him. I don't feel like I really want to sell Grealish ahead of those fixtures. Let's see what he's like tomorrow night. I don't want to sell Salah either, but the downgrade to Jota could be on to upgrade elsewhere in my team. But listen,
Grealish to Jota,
lots and lots to discuss, guys. But the one thing that is going to happen is that either Bruno or KDB or both are going to come in very, very soon. Bruno has to come in. He just has to come in. I have to just swallow my pride and get on with it, because every single week it's killing me. If he does, great. If he does, great. I've got no problem with that whatsoever, because then United will lose every single week because they've got nothing else, have they? The other thing to say is that the Salah to Jota downgrade not only would free up all of that money, but again, if I look at where my captaincies are going to be, the only one that I struggle with, Fulham in game week 12, yes. But then obviously 13, you're looking at Man City home to West Brom. Then you've got Manchester United home to Leeds. Okay, well, Liverpool, Crystal Palace in 14. 15, Liverpool home to West Brom. You could captain Jota in these games as well.
What?
You could captain
you've
Jota.
You've gone mental.
I like Jota a lot. I like him a lot.
You're not going to... Oh.
Anyway, a very average game week for me. Probably a bit below par once all said and done. And once the Vardy party kicks in tomorrow. 35 points. 563 overall. Over rank of 890k. Still not where I want it to be, but listen, we move on. We move on, and I know where the problems
are. Have you got tomorrow, sorry?
In my team. Just Grealish. Just Grealish. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be a horrible night tomorrow night.
Just Grealish.
Just Grealish tomorrow night. Whereas you've got 49 points, overall rank of 160k, with three left to play. So Creswell, Suchek, and Watkins still to play for you. There's a few twos dotted around the team, but of course the Fernandez captain looks pretty good. Diaz and Chilwell at the back as well. So all in all, not a bad week, I'd suggest.
No, I'm quite happy, to be honest. And I look around my team and I know there's a gaping KDB hole. I know that. But I also know that in order to do that, I have to destroy a team that I think it looks really good for next week. It didn't look good for this week. I'll be honest. Every single player in that team, bar Diaz, played somebody else in the team.
Yeah.
So I had... until I made the Diaz transfer, I had no players who weren't playing somebody else. It was awful.
And your goalie against Fernandez, yeah?
I had my goalie against Fernandez. I had the Chelsea boys versus the Spurs boys. I had West Ham versus Villa. I had Liverpool. Who'd you play?
We drew at Brighton.
Versus Yves Bissouma and Lamptey. I had... they were all playing each other.
Yeah.
And Everton, obviously. Dominic Calvert-Lewin would have been playing Diaz at Dallas had I not made that change. So I looked at my team and thought, you know what? This is literally a survive. I have to just survive.
Get through the game week.
This week with as many points as is possible and hope for the best. And I sort of thought that Fernandez and McCarthy might both return, and they did. I thought Diaz would bring me six, and that was fine. I was hoping that... in the Chelsea game might do something, because I thought that would be scoring. I didn't see a 0-0.
Yeah.
But I take the clean sheet points for Chilwell and Son. That's fine. So I actually feel like I've got away with it this game week, to be honest. I feel like I've massively dodged a bullet, and the team looks really nice for next week. Now, KDB is a problem. But, as I've said before, in order to do
him... It's not going
to
kill you, though, is it?
It's not going to kill me.
It shouldn't do.
No, it won't. Because in order to do it, I have to take a -4. I have to lose both Son and Kane ahead of the North London derby, where I think we'll...
Should do all right.
Be all right.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. And I don't want to take Salah out, because I want to captain him in future game weeks, and I would never captain Jota. So I'm in the place where my captain's armband will move between Fernandez, Salah... and Kane, and occasionally, yes, of course it will land on KDB, but not often.
Yeah.
And at that point, like, I'm seriously tempted to captain Kane in that North London derby next week.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that.
I am really seriously tempted to captain him next week. I think it looks like a really good option. The only thing that puts me off is that Fernandez has got another away game where you just know that he'll return. So I think I'm going to roll this week.
Oh, interesting.
And have then two frees going into next week, or going into 12, where I can make a move for Man City.
How are we feeling about that Southampton-Brighton game next week then? So Lamptey, Bissouma playing McCarthy
0-0.
And Walker-Peters. You're looking for a goalless draw there.
0-0.
Absolutely would be good.
Thanks, guys. 0-0.
Absolutely would be good.
McCarthy's going to get boned. He'll get save points regardless.
He's an absolute hero. He's a good goalie, isn't he? He's really come into the fore. But anyway, 49 points. Very, very good. Overall rank now looking pretty good. 160k. Not a bad place to be at this stage of the season, I suggest.
If Vardy follows the COVID instructions and has no party tomorrow, then I think with those three to come, there should be points across there. And
is that a green arrow this year? It must be, right?
Yeah, about 100k.
100k, yeah. Okay, nice.
So we're moving in the right direction. Every week it's a gradual climb. And I would hope that by the time we get into game week 11, that we'll be closer to breaking that 100k mark. And I feel like once we get there... Obviously, it's little chunks at that point.
Yeah.
We're not going to get 100k after that. It's just little bits. But it's still very close.
Very good.
Every week, the overall ranks are so tight that you have a good week and
it's still pretty close, right?
Everywhere it's close. So there's a lot to play for still.
All right. Well, listen, could be an interesting week here in FPL Family with me doing all manner of transfers and Sam doing absolutely nothing. We shall see. Anyway, you can follow us on any...
Well.
We've got a very busy week, actually. Yeah, so that we've got the official FPL show on Thursday, which most of you guys will either see on that Thursday night or Friday morning via the Premier League app. I'm going to be on the Fantasy Premier League podcast as well this week, so look out for that as well. Might have climbed down from my minus eight by the time we get to the podcast. The show. I don't know, but I'm just certainly feeling the rage transfer.
For those of you that are FF Scout members, every Thursday at 12 o'clock, Andy from Let's Talk FPL, do a members stream.
Yes, very good, yes.
You can only access if you are an FF Scout member, which I think most of you are. So if you are, there'll be an article on the day which will give you the link to head over and join us. Come over. We look at people's teams. Give ideas.
And if you're not a Fantasy Football Scout member, there is a link to join and sign up in the description below. Of course, you can go and do that. You can follow us on any of the social media that you can see on the screen there. If you'd rather listen to the podcast, the audio version of this live stream, then yes, you can find us on Spotify and Audio Boom and all that sort of stuff. Of course, at FPL Family on Twitter, at FPL Family on Instagram. Well done in game week 10. Anybody scoring anywhere in the sort of 40s and 50s, I think is a really good score. But, of course, there are some Vardy captainers still waiting for that COVID-busted party tomorrow night. Let's see.
What we're going to see is a little party in North London with West Ham and... I think it's in North London. With West Ham and... No, it's not in North London. It's just in London. It's in London, right? It's not in Birmingham, is it?
What are you even talking about?
Because then you'll have to buy me a Toby shirt when my three return.
Oh, right. I see. Oh, okay. So we're going to find out who's won the Manager of the Month this time next week. And it could... be you, Sam, from FPL
Literally
Family,
be
which
buzzing.
Will be absolutely savage. Guys, thank you for joining us this evening on FPL Family. Leave us a like before you go. And if you're new around here, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Nearly at 15,000 subscribers last time. And at 14.8, 14.9. Ooh. So anyone who's not subscribed, leave us a subscribe before you go and hit that little notify bell. We'd love you to do that and get us over the 15,000 mark this game week. That would be sensational, guys. Well done in game week 10. We will see you, of course, this time next week when we'll be reviewing... my team with Fernandez in it, I'm absolutely sure about it. Game week 11, same time, same place, 8:30 Sunday night, guys. See you soon. Cheers.
Bye, guys.